Welcome to Everyday Wellness. I'm Kelly Donahue, clinical health psychologist, here with my colleague,
Cynthia Thurlow. I'm a nurse practitioner, and we are both super passionate about food, here to educate, inspire, and advocate for you for your best health. Hey, hey, wanted to come to you today and talk to you about some of the things that Kelly and I are really loving these days. And one of them are the dry farm wines. And I'm not sure how much you know about this company, but what really makes them different and unique is that they are sourcing wines from organic vineyards where there are low to no sugar or carbs. And interestingly enough, most modern wines have more sugar than a liter of soda. Scary, right? They're lower in alcohol, they're lower in sulfites, and sulfites are kind of those things that can cause a lot of symptoms. You know, sometimes people will get headaches and histamine responses, etc. They are one of our sponsors for our podcast, and we'd love for you to take advantage of trying out some of their wines. They have lots of options. I love their rosés, but you can go to www.dryfarmwines.com/Cynthia Thurlow. And you can check out what they have there and try some things out and definitely let us know what you think.
Hello and welcome, everyone. We are so excited to have with us today Dr. Nick Greiner. He's been in practice for 12 years and is the owner and operator of Greiner Health Solutions in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. Dr. Greiner and his team help patients locally and all over the country. And he's served as an Olympic team doctor. How cool. Dr. Greiner's clinic provides lifestyle, oxidative, and regenerative therapies. Nick, welcome. We're so happy to have you.
It is great to be here. Thank you for having me, both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I would love for you to kind of start from the beginning. Obviously, you're also Western medicine trained, but how did you kind of pivot or change the focus of your business, or maybe it always started out as something that was more integrative, but how did that transition? How did that go about for you?
That's a great question. I guess the short version of the very long story is years ago, I had a friend of mine. So my bachelor's degree is in exercise physiology and nutrition. And I was invited by a friend to a seminar, that a doctor was hosting. He was in an old church, and he was talking about all these amazing things, nutrition, of course, being one. He was talking about fitness and high intensity interval training and, you know, not putting poisonous lotions on your body, using the, you know, good shampoo and stuff like that. And it was amazing. It was very eye-opening, and it was very complete. And halfway through, he had about 20 people come up on stage and pass the mic to each one of them and said, would you mind kind of giving your success stories? And I was hearing things like, I'm no longer a diabetic, I'm off metformin, my PET scan is clear, I lost 120 pounds. It just kept going down the line. I thought to myself, boy, so that stuff's possible, I guess. Mm-hmm. And my initial thought was, okay, how do I do that? How can I be that to people? So that was kind of my journey of starting. And, you know, because I had a little bit of a background in that, but really for us, I feel like, and my wife and I early on in school decided how we wanted to practice. And, you know, so our practice basically consists of, we just hired an NP, by the way, Cynthia, we're pumped about that. Hired an NP. We have two RNs, we have two MDs. We do corrective chiropractic as well at our clinic. And it's, you know, we absolutely don't claim to be experts in everything, but we are a little bit more diverse than just, you know, for example, cardiologists, that's what they see. Mm-hmm. So we see kind of an array of things, mostly metabolic, I guess, in nature. You know, we see a lot of diabetes, we see thyroid stuff, but we also see, we had a guy a couple of months ago, he came and he was diagnosed in the 90s with Gulf War syndrome. So we see kind of an array of things, but through our journey, you know, we're constantly trying to learn. And again, you had mentioned the podcast, and you know, for me, it's one of the things I love about social media, especially following somebody like you, is that I love learning, right? I had made a comment on Twitter the other day, said, you know, before I got on Twitter, I thought I knew everything, you know, and then you get on Twitter, like, I don't really know anything at all. So, you know, I like to learn a lot, and, you know, hopefully in the future, we keep moving in the same direction, but we still obviously keep learning. So that's where we are.
Well, I think, you know, the concept of lifelong learning is so critical and crucial. And I agree with you that out of all of the social media platforms, and this always surprises people because Twitter really is the manosphere. Like I always tell women, if you can exist as a woman, in Twitter, it is so cool because you learn so much. And it's a very different, to me, it reminds me very much of when I was at a teaching hospital or when I was part of a very large cardiology practice, very collegial, very supportive. And I think that's so critical for supporting, you know, learning on in so many levels, because so many other social media platforms may not be like that. So correct. I'm glad that, you have found that to be the case as well.
Yes. And I do love Twitter more than anything, but honestly, that is the only social media platform I am on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, to be perfectly honest with you. I just signed up.
There's not time for all of them.
Right? I mean, I just signed up in 2016, I thought, and I'm just like, you know, let me give this a shot. I've never really been big into that. And mm-hmm. I know, you know, when I first got into practice, my whole mindset was, I feel like I have a very important message to get to people and I just needed to get to them. Right. So how I started doing things was I just started doing community talks. Anywhere that would let me in, I said, hey, can I come in and do you mind if I talk about, you know, X topic? So anybody that let me in, I did, but then I realized, you know, social media is obviously important. And I mean, it's a huge platform, you know, mm-hmm. but I do love Twitter. And I love our community. I really do.
Yeah. Well, we're very, very blessed on in the Twitter sphere that we're on for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you two have convinced me. I'm clearly going to need to get on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure.
In fact, it's interesting. I don't know if you follow Dr. Tro and Brian, who they both do the low carb MD podcast.
Yes.
They're hilarious. And so they keep saying, why isn't Kelly on Twitter? They're like so aghast that Kelly's not on Twitter. So now
you never told me that.
Yes.
So now I'm telling you.
All right. Social accountability. Here we go.
There you go. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Well, Nick, you covered so many things in that just brief description of what you do, but a couple of things stood out. One, you work with your wife. How does that work?
Well, so I would say she doesn't really, she does more of, I guess, kind of the behind the scenes stuff, you know, scheduling and we've gone through seasons of, you know, being in private practice. You know, we have a lot of overturn. I would say more so with like, you know, medical assistants or CAs, MAs or whatever the case is than anything else. You know, our doctors have been with us for a while and our RNs as well, but we just hired the NP, but a lot of what we do is virtual as well. Mm-hmm. So she pretty much handles the scheduling for that type of stuff. Gets those things in order for people that are even local that just don't feel like driving to the clinic, I guess, you know, we'll do that for them as well. But, it's kind of a good relationship. One thing that I haven't mastered, we've been married for what year is this? 2019. We've been married for, we've been together for 15, been married for 11. Mm-hmm. And, I think the thing that we have to work on the most, which I haven't figured out yet, is kind of how to separate. I want to have a relationship with my wife, not just be a partner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we don't do, we're not terrible at it, but we knowingly sometimes like, okay, we got to stop for now and be husband and wife sometimes, but it's a pretty good relationship, even on the business side of it. So
well, the cool thing about that is that you both have that same approach on life and health and that same view. So
yes.
I'm sure that gets you far.
For sure.
The second thing that you mentioned, and we want to talk more in depth about a lot of the different services that you offer, but you mentioned corrective chiropractic. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us how that's different? I went through a course of corrective chiropractic and it made a huge difference in my life. So
right.
I'd love to hear more.
Sure. So, I mean, when I say corrective, I mean, so the way that we kind of measure things is obviously through examination and imaging, you know, if it's indicated, but, you know, x-rays or MRI, the thing about MRIs that we don't really like is that you're typically recumbent. We like weight bearing imaging, to be more accurate as far as assessing structure, but corrective care is essentially molding and training, taking an abnormal spine back to normal, right? So for example, like a scoliosis, you know, taking a scoliosis and through specific care and physical therapy, molding it back to normal, or maybe loss of cervical lordosis, taking a neck that's straight and again, through the type of care and physical therapy back to a normal, because if you open up an anatomy book, there's a normal to the spine, right? Scoliosis is abnormal. Loss of cervical lordosis is abnormal. So we can do that over time and not just essentially treat somebody, but we can actually do correction. And that's the goal, right? Because I don't want to treat anything. You know, I don't want to treat diabetes. I don't want to treat a bad spine. We want to try to correct it. So that's essentially what we do. And again, we do that through a specific technique. We do PT in the clinic. We also do home rehab. We have people walking around the clinic with weights on their heads and weights over their shoulders and all kinds of, if you walk in our clinic at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like a madhouse of of craziness. So, but corrective care is something that's, you know, for me, I was always big into the what happens with your physiology with like biomechanics and posture. So for us, that's why we chose to go the corrective care route.
Well, I'm laughing as I'm sitting here. I don't know if Kelly's laughing, but I'm straightening up.
Well, you know what?
Chest out.
Yeah, and I put my phone off to the side. You know what I mean? I don't want to be looking at that thing. So, but I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think as I watch my parents age, and I have one parent who still has really fantastic posture and one who does not. And it's amazing how, you know, my stepmother will say to my dad, why won't he straighten up? I'm like, oh, he's like, he's got a Dowinger's hump.
And oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not going anywhere, and trying to explain to her how that happens, right. The process and the weakening of pectoral muscles and all those things. So yeah, put your shoulders back and
put it back. My exactly. my pap always used to yell at my father. I mean, my pap's passed since now, but he used to tell my father, yell him, say it with your chest.
Yes.
Say it with your chest. Like poke, you know, don't hunch, say it with your chest. So yeah.
One of the many therapies that you offer is a cellular detoxification therapy. There's so much talk about detox out there, and some of it seems to be really rooted in science and other seems a bit more questionable. So can you talk just in general about detox and then about what you do specifically?
Sure. Well, I think that the first thing, and I agree 100% with you, you know, when people hear the word detoxification, that sometimes, you know, I see the eye roll, and I know why. I see a lot of things out there that either are not effective or could potentially be dangerous. Now, detoxification, my thought on it is how I kind of approach everything. The most important thing, in my opinion, that you can do, and it seems the most logical to me, is to remove the sources of the toxins, quote unquote toxins, right? Mm-hmm. So I have people that come and see us and they're taking all these pills or potions and they're saying, look, I'm detoxing. Look how great I'm doing. And I'm like, number one, how do you know that you need that?
Right.
Have you had any labs to confirm any of that? And has anybody talked to you about your lifestyle first and foremost, right? Mm-hmm. Because why would you try to compensate a lousy lifestyle with foot baths or this or that stuff? That's the first thing, is that nobody's talking about lifestyle. And the second thing really is looking upstream, right? So we have our downstream detoxification organs, liver, kidneys, gallbladders, gut, skin, whatever the case is. But looking upstream, my view on health is simple, is health, in my opinion, is all about your cells, the state of the health of your cells. That's all that we are in the physical sense anyway, right? Your heart is just a bunch of cells organized that carry out that function. So how is the health of our cells? So detoxification, and my point of view, is removing or doing the best you can to limit the exposure, right? So we always start with food. Let's stop the lousy food. And kind of as an aside, by the way, and you guys will probably agree with me, one of the best ways to quote unquote detox is lose some body fat.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? Or sweat, you know, go, you know, work out, you know? So it doesn't need to be this long, you know, process of taking a bunch of stuff. Just kind of get your lifestyle right first. But here's my thing. The three big things, in my opinion, that a lot of people overlook are metals, infections, and mold. Okay. Mm-hmm. In my opinion. So heavy metals, specifically lead and mercury. Infections, and again, they could be co-infections or things like, usually with things like, for example, dental work. I work very close with a couple of biological dentists, cavitations, root canals, anything like that to make sure that the mouth is healthy, and then mold. And those are really, really big ones that I take into consideration. But let's say, for example, somebody has their lifestyle cleaned up and they're still dealing with some of these things. If it's necessary that we take measures to help the body temporarily, right, to be able to get rid of this stuff. Like one of the things that we do is we do IV-EDTA, chelation therapy. Okay. If it's indicated, that only happens on rare occurrences, right? Mm-hmm. If people have very high heavy metals, other things going on. Now we have a guy, for example, he has high gadolinium because he's had a bunch of scans because he has cancer, prostate cancer.
Okay.
That's kind of just the nature of the beast with that. But high mercury, high lead, a lot of these things don't like to leave the body, and they have, for example, lead likes to live in bone, mercury likes the brain, it likes glands. Mm. So some of these things just don't easily, you just can't sweat out. Some things you can, right? So my point overall, I guess, is get the lifestyle cleaned up first, right? And if you need to have some sort of, you know, temporary agents or quote unquote supplements or whatever the case is to kind of help the body, you know, then it might be necessary. But my whole point about detoxification is let's remove the sources. You know, we talked to all of our patients about what we mentioned earlier, what type of shampoo are you using? You know, mm-hmm. what type of cleaning solutions are you using? I was buzzing my hair for a couple of years and I let it grow back. And the hair gel that I use, I had to search for about a week to find stuff that wasn't full of poison. Yeah. So that's kind of where we are with that. Let's address lifestyle first. And if necessary, if we have to go through some protocol, then so be it. But it's always based off of labs and to make sure that it's indicated.
I really love the fact that you start with food. Of course, that resonates with Kelly and I, but I think of a woman, I'm not going to identify who it is, that lives within my neighborhood and is pushing Isagenix detox. I mean, she's always talking about everyone needs to do this detox and then you've got to eat all these bars and all this crap and garbage. And
right.
I have to hold my tongue sometimes because there are people who are not ready to hear what I think of those products.
Sure. But
I agree with you that today's podcast is sponsored by Nutrisense. It combines cutting-edge technology and human expertise so you can see how your body responds to different types of nutrition, stress, exercise, sleep, and where you are in your menstrual cycle in real time. And by pairing a continuous glucose monitor with their app and expert nutritional guidance, Nutrisense can help you reach your health goals. And the best part is it's not just a program where they send you the CGM and you have to figure it out on your own. Each subscription plan includes 1 month of free expert nutritionist support. Your nutritionist will work with you one-on-one, interpreting your data, and providing customized advice to help you reach your health goals. The last time I had my CGM on, my registered dietitian and I troubleshooted over some specific concerns that I had. And whether you're aiming to lose weight, stabilize your energy, or just feel better overall, Nutrisense offers the guidance and support you need. And lasting sustainable change takes time and can be achieved through a longer term subscription. That's why I encourage my patients and clients to consider 3, 6, or 12-month subscriptions where it's actually less expensive and allows you to not only achieve your goals, but also to ensure that you stick to your healthy lifestyle for the long term. As I've mentioned before, I have found the CGMs I've used through Nutrisense to be incredibly insightful, specifically to carbohydrate tolerance. I would not have known that plantains spiked my blood sugar without this information. It's also been hugely helpful for tailoring to workouts and sleep quality. And so for me, even though I am metabolically healthy, I find the insights to be particularly helpful to tailor my lifestyle changes to my blood sugar. Visit Nutrisense.io/EWP and use the code EWP for $30 off plus 1 month of free nutritionist support. Be sure to let them know you're a listener of the Everyday Wellness podcast when they ask you how you heard about them. This is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health and one of my top recommendations for all of my patients and clients. Do you find yourself struggling to get a good night's sleep? If so, you may be dealing with a hidden mineral deficiency. It is not at all uncommon in perimenopause and menopause to deal with sleep challenges. And we know that one of many contributory reasons for poor sleep can be a reduction in specific minerals that help regulate sleep quality, including magnesium, which is involved in GABA, which is our body's main calming neurotransmitter. We also know that we need potassium to create melatonin. And this is a hormone that is a master antioxidant, but is also utilized to help induce sleep. We also think about things like zinc, which can balance excitatory neurotransmitters like glutamate. And if it's overactive, meaning if your glutamate levels are too high, it can prevent your brain from becoming more relaxed and inducing sleep. And lastly, selenium increases both our deep sleep and sleep duration. All these minerals matter a lot for sleep, and any imbalances or deficits can have a major impact on the quality of sleep you get each night. And that's why I love Beam Minerals. They offer a full spectrum mineral supplement that gives you every essential mineral your body needs in the right doses, all in a highly absorbable liquid form. All you do is take a shot of Beam Minerals about an hour before bed. Don't worry, it tastes like water, and you'll replenish all of your body's minerals in about 30 seconds and give your brain what it needs for deep restorative sleep. I've been using this product over the last several months. I've really been impressed with the improvement in my sleep metrics, which I like to share on social media with my followers. And if you want a simple way to improve your sleep, head over to www.bminerals.com and use code Cynthia for 20% off your first order. That's www.bminerals.com and use code Cynthia for 20% off your first order. You know, we have to get real with our patients and have those difficult conversations and remind them that we're exposed to toxins in our personal care products, our food, and our environment on a daily basis. And oftentimes when, you know, my patient population are women, and many of whom are frustrated because they've gained weight they don't want. And that's always a part of what we discuss. And I always tell them, it's kind of like dipping your toe in the pond. Once you're in the pond, mm-hmm. then you start thinking, oh my gosh, cumulatively, the amount of toxin exposures that we experience on a daily basis is really overwhelming and profound. Like, you think about every plastic container that your food is in, or, you know, you go to the grocery store and you're like, this is great. The grocery store has done all this prep for us, but what right. do they put it in? Styrofoam, or they right. put it inside this plastic container. And so you're constantly exposed to these obesogens, you know, yes. chemicals that can induce inflammation and, you know, generate obesity. So I love that you kind of, that you've touched on that already. Yep. And so I'm curious to know, where are most of your patients getting their mold exposure? Because I feel like mold in particular is so insidious, and right. I'm seeing more and more and more of it in my clinical practice.
I think that most is from where they live. Mm-hmm. A couple of people that we've seen from their work environment. There was a guy that I knew that it had infiltrated his lung tissue, and they were talking about doing a double lung transplant from the building that he worked wow. in. Right, right. So at another instance, I had a family that was consulting who their middle girl, their middle child, she was at the time, I think 9, who kept getting these chronic illnesses and weird things, like every three months to almost a day, she would have horrible illness. She would be in the ER for dehydration. And it ended up being mold, and they had to move. Some people, you know, busting down walls and having the stuff checked out. But I think it's just living environment or working environment mostly. Mm-hmm. I can't say that we see a ton of mold, mm-hmm. But we do see mold, patients with mold, and it can range from, you know, severe. We have a guy that's coming in that his brother has to bring him because he can't remember where our office is.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and he comes in for treatment, and he has to, you know, his brother calls and says, hey, you know, I have to bring him today because he can't remember where your clinic is. So that's my thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. And Kelly, I don't mean to interrupt. I had a mold exposure when I was in the hospital. And so it's been an interesting, you know, as much as I know, it's been really interesting to address that on the outside, and was very, very surprised to know that I had had so much exposure. So
you were exposed in the hospital?
Yes. Damp hospital. Yep. They were doing a lot of construction, and I was in a wing of the hospital where there had been some water damage at one point. So
that's crazy.
I suspect that's wow.
And you're a rock star, which you've been through, sister. I'm telling you
let's just put it this way. I was explaining to someone, I was being interviewed on a podcast yesterday, and it was talking about like how you bounce back from trauma. And I just said, it's all mindset. I mean, that mm-hmm. was I was like, I'm not dying.
Amen.
It's not Amen happening. It's not yeah. happening. I got too many things to do. I got kids to get
yeah.
on to.
That's so, exactly right. Yeah, my grandfather, the same thing. My grandfather was orphaned. He lived on a railroad car. He was adopted. He smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. He ate candy corn. He lived to be 96. He lived to be 96 years old. And I remember him saying, he's just like, I refuse to die. He just kept saying, I refuse to die. And I think there's something to that, right?
Yep. I'm thirsty.
No doubt.
Powerful.
That's my baseline.
Yeah.
Well, with all of these potential toxins in our environment, including what we eat, it seems that even if we clean up our diet, there would be a need to kind of be in a detox mode often, or at least to be doing some things on the regular to help our bodies detox.
Yes.
So, I'd like you to talk about maybe some of the things we could do at home to detox, but I'd also like you to tell our listeners who might be wondering, how do I know if I need to detox? Like, what would be some of the signs and symptoms that they could detoxify?
Great question. So I think that as far as how often depends on the person, right? But let's use an example of somebody who his lifestyle is typically pretty clean, who eats well, who maybe has low body fat, trains, gets good sleep, gets some good sun exposure, but still has some issues. I would say the people that were we kind of before are suspecting there's something more going on. First of all, we always confirm with labs. I mean, we always say we don't guess, we test everything.
Love it.
Yeah, for sure. We don't like to guess. It's to me, it's criminal to not know what's going on. So that would be the first thing. But a lot of things, as far as maybe some underlying things going on, brain fog is probably one of the biggest ones. Chronic fatigue is another one. Certain things that could, I guess, manifest clinically, but if you look at the research, it's kind of mixed with that. I think a lot of things with like thyroid problems are more, don't get me wrong, there are nutritional things with that, but I think a lot of things with thyroid have a strong correlation with some of these things. Even some virus like Epstein-Barr virus, depending on who you ask, is high on the list of things that can have effect on thyroid, on your thyroid hormones.
Yeah.
And so those could just be like a couple of things. Now, again, if we're confirmed with labs after we've kind of ruled everything else out, I'm not going to say that somebody would necessarily need. So we talk about like detoxification protocol. Here's an example. People ask me all the time, what about chlorella and all these other things? There are certain things like foods or agents, I guess, supplements that are considered mild chelators. But here's the deal with that. If you truly want to get toxins out of your body, they have to be bound, right? Mm-hmm. They have to be bound. Because if not, they're going to be circulating and they're going to get reabsorbed. So they have to be bound. So if you're a lot of these people that I see that come to my clinic with, like, oh, I'm taking this tea or this detoxification product, you have to do this. If they're mild chelators and the downstream detoxification organs aren't healthy, if your liver's not right, if your gut isn't right, you're going to make yourself sicker. I see a lot of people that do this and they get worse.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure, like I said, the whole process, in my opinion, is looking upstream, making sure the downstream detoxification organs are well, and you're limiting or, getting rid as much as you can of the exposures. And then if we're at the place to where you need something temporarily, then depending on the person, it could be maybe just kind of going on for, I say, again, this is completely general because I don't have any context as far as a patient goes, but a couple of times a year embarking on some sort of detoxification, quote unquote, protocol where you're doing maybe like a broth fast, you're getting your gut mm-hmm. right, or, you're fasting. Listen, I love water fasting more than anything. Anything. I mean, it's amazing. I think it's up there, like probably one of the best things for your physical, emotional health that you mm-hmm. can possibly do. I love fasting. But as far as like, what you mentioned, practical stuff at home, like I mentioned, I don't know. One of the things we talk about our patients with is looking at what we already mentioned, what's going on in your home life. We wash our dishes with, soap that's not harmful. We wash our clothes, and I'm not going to mention any names or any brands. I have no affiliation with anybody, mm-hmm. but I think it's just, cleaning out, being aware of these things that potentially in your home that can cause issues. And here's the thing, like I'll drive myself crazy. I start reading about what type of material my home is built with. Mm-hmm. And where the material, what country that it came from, all of a sudden I'm losing my mind about what type, the environment that I'm living in. So, you can definitely kind of go down those roads too. But I think that, paying attention to your detergent, your shampoos, your if you put lotion on, my wife's makeup that she uses is lead-free makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So just, and I think the important thing about this too, guys, is if you're well versed in this stuff and you can have these conversations with your patients, like I ask my patients on the paperwork, everything from were you vaginally delivered to how many amalgam fillings in your mouth do you have,
mm-hmm.
And everything in between, because it's all relevant. Did that answer your question? Maybe.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
I think those are important distinctions. What I find interesting is how many patients end up in my lab, because sometimes the functional medicine practices locally will refer to me when they have someone that they can't quite figure out why they can't clear something. And I can't tell you how many people, for anyone that's listening, they may not be aware there's different phases of detoxification in the body and in the liver specifically.
Yes.
So a patient will be put on a protocol and then all of a sudden they are despondent, they're suicidal, they're exhausted, they feel terrible. And the first thing I say to them is, I think your phase one detoxification sped up and your phase two came to a crashing halt, which explains why you've got all these, you know, toxins that are making you feel so badly. And so it's really kind of ratcheting it back. And I think what I'm hearing you say, and I absolutely agree with, is that it's so personalized. It's impossible to use a one size fits all philosophy.
Yes.
Because each one of us are bio individuals. And correct. Then on top of it, we've all had, you know, differing degrees of exposures throughout our lifetime. You know, one thing I think that's interesting is, you know, that the concept of binders, you know, we're talking about chlorella or, you know, activated charcoal, or if we're talking about, you know, clay or any of those things, I think a lot of people will pick up those things, you know, very benignly at a grocery store or Whole Foods or Amazon, and they just assume that it's not a big deal. And I try to remind them that you really need to be working with someone to make sure that you're using it safely. And, you know, supplements, I think are looked at as being extremely benign, and they can be, but when they're not used properly, they can be harmful potentially.
Absolutely. And that was a great thought, by the way. And that's how you know somebody knows something about detoxification, which you mentioned. You said phase one and two, and that's exactly right. I've had people like you mentioned would have symptoms of like schizophrenia trying to embark on some of these things. And I'm like,
a great deal about our focus on everyday wellness is on supporting gut health. And one of my new favorite ways to recommend to family and friends and even clients is to consider colostrum. And so Equip Foods has an amazing product that helps to improve immunity and gut health and recovery. And each scoop contains grass-fed, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free colostrum. And if you're wondering what colostrum is, it's a nutritional powerhouse that serves as the first source of nutrition for mammals in nature. It's been shown to enhance immune function, gut health, and recovery with vital nutrients such as lactoferrin, growth factors, and proline-rich polypeptides. Colostrum is a natural milk-like fluid produced by mammals immediately following delivery of the newborn. And while colostrum is a dairy product, it does not contain milk or lactose. So most people with lactose intolerance usually find colostrum very easily digestible and beneficial to gut health. You can use one scoop a day. You can mix it in things like coffee or mix it in shakes or even yogurt, or even some of your baked food recipes. As I mentioned, has a lot of health benefits, including research demonstrating the improvement in a reduction in inflammation, promoting good gut flora, and supporting restoring leaky gut to normal permeability. And what I love best is that Equip Foods is very ethically focused. Their cows are humanely raised and ethically treated, and cows produce an excess of colostrum when nursing. So only after their babies get what they need are they able to source the excess colostrum for use in their products. There is 3 grams of colostrum in each scoop, and one serving in comparison to main competitors has just 1 gram. And research demonstrates that this dose, the 3 grams, actually promotes more benefits to gut health, immune function, recovery, and vitality. So if you'd love to take care of your health, you can go to www.equipfoods.com/Cynthia20 to get 20% off your first order. That's www.equipfoods.com/Cynthia20. You definitely want to check this out.
Mighty Maca is a superfood drink mix full of 30 plus natural ingredients, and it was formulated by Dr. Anna Kabeca during her healing journey. Mighty Maca Plus ingredients, which include nourishing ingredients like organic maca powder, turmeric, quercetin, broccoli, parsley, trans-resveratrol, pomegranate extract, and more, were carefully selected for immune support to sustain energy, provide mental clarity, and improve recovery. It also tastes delicious. It supports healthy detoxification and alkalinity in the body, balances hormones, fights free radicals, and neutralizes lactic acid, all while increasing your energy and vitality. It helps improve your digestion and reignites your libido. It's a powerful superfood drink mix that needs to be part of your daily routine. And Dr. Anna is offering my listeners 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com Cynthia. It's delicious and nutritious.
This isn't something to where you can just, you know, it's not like taking vitamin D or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that too, the idea with detoxification is I'm one of those people that firmly believe that, you know, I believe that the body's well equipped to handle certain things. I mean, the fact that some people live to be 65 years old and you see what they do, their body's amazing. Mm-hmm. But the idea that we cannot become overburdened is kind of silly. It's almost like telling somebody, well, just because we have a liver, drink as much vodka as you want. Yeah. Right? I mean, there is a point where it can become too much for sure.
And I think, you know, I think we're all in our 40s. Yes. I feel like this is that special time, especially for women as they're hitting perimenopause, that all of a sudden, if they've not been taking care of their bodies, it will become evident. So yes, no really, doubt. Really critical. But I want to touch on, you mentioned something that I know the medical medium talks a lot about, Epstein-Barr. Mm-hmm. And so I had to buy his books because I had so many people asking me about his books and I had not read them. And so I have them and now they're safely tucked upstairs. They're no longer in my office. But I know that he kind of feels as if Epstein-Barr is the basis for everything, including thyroid issues. And I'm just curious if you had an opinion. He also loves celery juice for everyone. And I'm not a fan of that.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Too many oxalates. I know you and I are very oxalate sensitive.
Seriously. It was like we had the same diet. Yeah. You know, so again, everything in context, right? So I've read a few books, on the topic as well. And my general consensus is it's about the burden once again, you know, and we always test for labs and some people will say that there's always some trace of these viruses in there and then depending on if it's detectable or if it's not, kind of like Lyme, I guess. But my issue is if somebody, we do labs and somebody comes back positive or EBV is high, then is that automatically mean that they're going to be thyroid issues? And obviously that's not the case. Because we'll do thyroid labs and there might not be anything wrong. All the levels mm-hmm. might be okay. But here's the thing too. If you look at some other viruses, again, depending on who you ask, there's strong correlation with certain viruses and certain types of cancer, right? So again, that doesn't mean that if it's detectable that something's going to manifest, but I think my general thought or consensus is that it's definitely a strong enough player and mm-hmm. You should be mindful of it right now. How somebody wants to approach dealing with it is a different story, right? Because, you know, you have antivirals, or then you have like maybe some supplements that claim to have antiviral properties or certain things. Like, for example, one of the things that we do, but maybe more specific for Lyme, is we do major autohemotherapy, which, mm-hmm. you know, seems to do a really good job with dealing with underlying viruses and infections and even Lyme. So how you people choose to deal with it is one thing, but I think that it's a player and I think people should be mindful of that. But just be careful on how they're going to go about dealing with it, more or less.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to that bio-individuality too, and really needing to test and understand what's going on before you dive deeply into something and thinking that's the only thing that will help you.
Exactly correct. And everything we address, I would never tell somebody to, hey, listen, take an antiviral, but keep eating lousy food. You know, that would never happen. So
absolutely.
Yeah. You got to address it all.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, I know that we share, for full disclosure, we share a lot of the same foods we enjoy eating, but yes. I know our listeners, especially as we're coming off of a podcast with Dr. Sean Baker, I would love for you to kind of share how your personal kind of nutrition philosophy obviously weaves into your work with patients, but how did you start putting, two and two together to figure out what worked best for your body?
So I started off, I would say, I don't think that I've ever been on a legit ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. I've always been a little bit more higher protein than the ketogenic diet calls for. I've been low carb for probably 20 years for the most part. And I was low carb eating, low carb vegetables, I have to eat my vegetables, right? Because they're good for you. You know, mm-hmm. you have to eat them because they're good for you. Everybody told me that. And I did. And I think that probably for a good part of about 12 to 15 years, I had some gut things that kind of weren't going away. And I tried a lot of stuff. So I kind of waffled between you know, more of you know, a protein, higher protein, low carb diet, you know, the fat that I never was one big into, you know, eating a ton of fat, you know, mm-hmm. butter in my coffee. I just pretty much got my fat from a little bit of dairy in my meat. Mm-hmm. But I went full carnivore about 2 years ago, and I did it strict for about a year ish. And all those bowel issues went away mm-hmm. almost in less than a week. And wow. I'm thinking to myself, okay. So instead of, and I did it first, like I said, strict for a year, and I felt great. And I'm like, well, let me see what I can bring back in and what gives me issues. So I start bringing some back in. Pretty much the only thing I can get away with, at least I don't have symptoms with, some fruits like zucchini. I can do cucumber. I can do avocado. I can do olives. What's the other one? Artichoke I can do. And then garlic. And Brussels sprouts, surprisingly, I can do Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I can't now, do those.
I don't know. I can't explain it, but the broccoli and cauliflower, forget it. It's brutal.
Yep.
So, but now I can't say that I'm 100% carnivore. I eat meat only most days. And then if I want to have an avocado, I have an avocado, you know, but my fasting regimen is kind of, I was 16-8 for years. Then I closed my window. I was doing 20-4, kind of like the warrior diet. Mm-hmm. I did that for a while. And then for about the past 2 years, I've been one meal a day. But Cynthia, since, you know, I recently, you know, I saw what you posted on Twitter and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give her a shot. Cause I know we have that mutual friend of ours that we were talking yep. about. And, I know that he likes that as well. So I've been doing that. And I tell you what, I'm a little bit lighter over the past week and a half.
Yeah.
And I feel better.
Yeah.
I definitely feel better.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you sharing that.
So for anyone who's listening, who's curious, I decided that if I was going to implement a strategy with my group, I have a intermittent fasting 45 group, then I needed to try it out myself. So I had been doing what's referred to as a 5-1-1 for several weeks. And so what that incorporates is normal fasting 5 days a week. And then one day you feast and then one day you do a 24-hour fast. And so much like, you know, Nick has mentioned, you know, I went to LA feeling like a rock star and I think I'm going to continue doing it. Although it sometimes it's hard for people to wrap their heads around the 24-hour fast in addition to everything else. But what I have found is that feasting day for me is really critical.
Yes.
My body is ready to absorb more protein, more carbohydrates, and I have to be really careful. Much like Nick alluded to, there are sometimes I get something in my body that it doesn't like, and it lets me know. But I have several women that decided to do the challenge within the challenge and they're loving it. So,
yes.
You know, it's designed like if you've plateaued or if you feel like you need to shake things up. And so I'm really an advocate and I want to give credit where credit is due is actually Dr. Pompa.
Yeah.
I read his book Beyond Fasting. And so that was what initially kind of gave me the idea. And I'm hoping we can convince him to come on the podcast so we can pick his brain further. But he and I have been messaging back and forth over Instagram.
Awesome.
Which has really been helpful. But I want to touch back to what you mentioned about, you know, you had digestive issues, you started the carnivore diet, and Kelly and I are all about finding what works best for you. I did paleo for years. I've been gluten-free for 8 years. I've been grain and dairy-free for 2. That works well for my body. And once I was in the hospital and recovered, I found that anytime I introduced anything beyond meat or fish or chicken or poultry or eggs, my digestive system didn't like it. And so I had to cut out all cruciferous vegetables. So broccoli, cauliflower, kale, et cetera. And my functional medicine doctor likes to call it killer kale, as well as a lot of the sulfate rich foods and the oxalates. So,
yes.
You know, if you're gluten-free, you're eating a lot of nuts. You're probably consuming a lot of oxalate rich foods. I mean, I was shocked as progressive as I like to think of myself in terms of my nutritional knowledge, I was surprised at how much better I felt when I pulled all the nuts out. And so the only thing I tolerate right now are macadamia nuts, and I can only probably get away with them twice a week. But I think it's really, really critical to find out what works best for your body. The irony is everything that Nick just mentioned that he can tolerate minus the Brussels sprouts is the same way with me. And it's, I'm curious to know, like I got away with some delicata squash the other day. Mm. And so I really have to be careful and how my digestive system lets me know that I've screwed up is I get, you know, I go from, you know, normal bowel movements to not normal bowel movements. And so that kind of, it just reiterates for me. I'm like, okay, that didn't work. Okay, the experiment was ineffective. And I did, in fact, have cauliflower a few weeks ago. And my gut let me know that was an error of mine.
Well, you know, something else too, I'm thinking as you're talking, and it just makes so much sense. One of the things that, you know, when I was just kind of a low carb guy in general, I wasn't really watching, you know, the types of nuts that I was eating. Mm-hmm. Or any of that, you know, my wife was making, you know, these keto desserts, right? Yeah. Where it's almond flour and coconut flour and nuts and this and that. And I'm just, and I'm like, I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I just can't do it anymore. And on top of that too, I'm still in the camp of, you can definitely eat too much fat too. I mean, correct. I think you can. I'm not one of those people that would say eat as much fat as you want. So yeah, those things I absolutely cannot do. But one thing I noticed too, Cynthia, was kind of cool because when you mentioned that on Twitter, it was almost like it was meant to be, because I had been on one meal a day for like I said, a couple of years now. And one thing I don't like to mess with is my fasting window. I love my fasting window. I train fast, and I'm a very active guy. I do mm-hmm. Brazilian jiu-jitsu 5 times a week. I lift weight. And one thing I noticed though, is I started having, I can't say it was an energy thing, but I started having like, I guess like some minor muscle fasciculations. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I wonder if it's like a B2 thing, like a riboflavin. I'm working hard and I'm not refueling. Because I would train, let's say at like noon, right? Brazilian jiu-jitsu at noon. And it's extraordinarily physical. And mm-hmm. then I wouldn't eat till like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So when I started introducing this, it's only been like a week and a half. It's made a world of difference. The 5-1-1. Yeah. So I think I'm going to stick with it for a while.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting how many people in the Twitter sphere are Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. I'll have to make sure, if you're not already following Murph, you should be. He's a character.
Who's Murph? Cynthia,
he's a former Navy SEAL guy. He's on.
Oh, TV. Yeah. Yes. Gotcha.
Super interesting. Yeah. Funny
it's guy. It's a crazy sport. You either love it or you hate it. And you know immediately.
Yes. Yeah. I suspect a certain personality is attracted to it.
Yes, for sure.
Well, we're excited to hear that you do virtual work as well. So can you tell all of our listeners who might not be near your physical location how they could learn more about what you do and get in touch with you?
Sure. Our website is grinderhealthsolutions.com, and there is a tab, I believe. It looks different on my phone than on the computer, but there's a tab that says contact us. And I think within that, there is a, contact us. You can email us, or you can request we do a 15, 20 minute, consultation online, free of charge, just to see if, you know, we're the type of people that, you know, we can help you. Cause obviously we can't help everybody. You know, we're not experts at everything, but that would probably be the best way. And then, we get a notification and we just get back to you.
Awesome. And your website is full of information on various conditions, and it really details all of the different therapies that you offer. So that alone is a great resource for
people.
Thank
you very much.
Yeah. Yes. So if you had to give our listeners just 2 tips that they could use to improve their health and wellness every day, what would those be?
Stop eating so often and cut out sugar, grain, seed oils.
Ooh, I love it. Simple, but so powerful.
Yeah. Yep. That would be my 2 easy general tips to start with, for sure.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for carving a little bit of time out of your busy schedule to connect with us. And we'll definitely love to bring you back.
Thank you both so much. It was a pleasure being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions or would like us to discuss a certain topic, please feel free to email us at everydaywellnesspodcast@gmail.com. You can find out more about Kelly at kellydonahuephd.com and more about Cynthia at
cynthiathurlow.com.